It's been good, and I thank the Lord that I didn't have to do the math to calculate the one-third of the time. I'm not good at that. I enjoyed the meeting. I commend Union Church and Brother Marty for such a great job they've done. Brother Marty's kept the thing moving just exactly on time, and friends and members of Union Church have just entertained the meeting so well. And there's not any of us been here since Thursday night that hadn't gained weight. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning from the first chapter of Hebrews. The preaching this morning has been powerful, as it has been throughout the meeting. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate the privilege of having been here. This book of Hebrews is considered to be, it's been called by some at least, the book of better things. And it, I don't know how it gets any better than other books, but it is better than the Old Testament, for sure, because it deals with us, our time. Somebody asked me yesterday, and I don't remember who it was, asked me about the Oxford English Dictionary, and I do have some, whoever it was. I do have some with me if you need them. Let me know quickly, because we will leave soon after the amen is said. We won't eat lunch. We'll head out, Brother Carl. We're going to try to get Brother Carl home on Saturday, and it'll be a nip and tuck process. So you pray for us. I do have Oxford dictionaries. Brother Ferris introduced me to those things many years ago, and I have tried my best to distribute them all over the country. And this book is written in English. And it doesn't matter what Greek word the word was translated from. It doesn't matter what the root word is. If you get the English meaning and put it in context, you got the meaning of this Bible. And you'll be amazed if you don't have the Oxford. You'll be amazed at what's in them. The book of Hebrews starts out with God. And that in itself would be a major effort to try to expound even on that. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that's in various times and diverse manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. If you don't have any other scripture to prove that there won't be a millennial reign, that ought to be enough. Amen. Because there will be a last day, and there'll be no days after the last day. But we are in the last days. I don't know how long the rest of them will be. But I do know one thing, there'll be none after the last day, because this whole thing will be burned with fervent heat.
Amen.
There'll be no need for it anymore. It won't need to be cleaned up. God will be through with it. It will have done its duty.
Yes, sir.
Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of his being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Well, that lets us know the gospel don't help, don't it? It lets us know that faithfulness won't help purge our sins. By himself purged our sins. Set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Angels. A ministering spirit of divine messenger. One of an order of spiritual beings superior to man in power and in intelligence. That's what an angel is. A person who resembles an angel in attributes or actions. It also can mean any messenger of God as a pastor or minister of the church. But when he says here that he, by inheritance, he's talking about the ministering spirits. He's talking about the divine being. And I kind of got hung up on the by inheritance. Jesus, by inheritance, obtained a better name, more excellent name than they. Inheritance. Something that comes into possession of or by or divine grant, birthright. In biblical use, applied to persons and so forth. The receptions of genetic qualities by transmission from parent to offspring. Jesus, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than the angels. And the angels are smarter and more perfect than man. They are a step above man. And unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Psalms 2:7. Let's read a little bit. Psalms 2:7. I'll just read 6, 7, and 8. Psalms 2, chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Jesus by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. And the angels are bigger and smarter than man. So in the pecking order, man is a lowly creature compared to one Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, Jesus of Nazareth became a man like we are. It seems to me that we've got a predicament here. We've got a Jesus that experienced all things as we did, in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. I got some questions here. Actually, it's words of a song. And it's questions to Jesus. What's your name? On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, they call me Emmanuel. How old are you? On my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I've just always been. Where are you from? On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem. What's your plans? On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, in 3 days, I'll arise and sit at my father's side. By inheritance, he obtained a more excellent name than the angels. But on his mother's side, he walked on the earth. He was a 12-year-old. And I want all of the young folks to hear this. At about 12 years old, this perfect being that by inheritance is greater than the angels. At 12 years old, he was displaying his ability to discuss things with doctors and lawyers. And his family got away. They left. And they finally missed him. And went back. And they kind of scolded him. Well, there might very well be a justified scolding on both sides of that issue. How come they went 3 days without missing him? But he said, "Do you not know I must be about my father's business?" But they didn't understand, and he went and was subject to them. You hear me? How long? Till he's about 30 years old. That may not have anything to do with anything, but it's a good lesson within the lesson. We may, when we get up into certain ages, we may know a lot more than our parents know. But they're still the boss. Well, anyway, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. This being, this Jesus of Nazareth, he inherited the name God. And I'm fully convinced. I'm fully convinced that he was all God. And I don't understand it, but I believe it with every fiber of my body. He was all man. He knew what it was like to suffer pain. It was humiliating to him to be spit on. But he inherited a name greater than they. He inherited the Father's name. You inherit features from both your parents. And on my mother's side, my fingers mashed flat and stayed. And on my father's side, my nose is big. And I heard something here a while back that just blew me away and disappointed me. They have discovered that a man's nose and ears never quit growing. I didn't know that, and I wish I still didn't. I've got, let's go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Verses 13 through 17, Matthew chapter 3. And I sure do like to hear the leaves of the Bible, the pages of the Bible turning. At home, I wait till I quit hearing that. When you say, let's go to Matthew 3:13, and they start reading, they don't have time to catch up. So you just wait till the pages stop turning and read. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. On my Father's side, I am the beloved Son of God. And on my mother's side, I'm a lowly, obedient child of God. Man, I've got several places that I won't get to. I'm going to give you some scriptures. You jot these down. Acts 13:33. I want to go to that one, and I'll probably quit with it. Y'all remember what Paul Revere said at the end of his famous ride? Whoa. Acts 13:33, if I can find it. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. By inheritance he obtained a better name than they. By inheritance, Jesus Christ obtained a better name than the angels. And the angels are higher than man. And this one that was by inheritance was made better than the angels is willing to call us brethren, call us his children, and call us his friend. Is he worthy of worship? on his father's side, he's our all in all. And on his mother's side, he's our high priest that knows exactly how we feel. It doesn't matter what comes your way. He's been there, done that. He can relate to a 12-year-old. He can relate to a 6-year-old. He can relate to the oldest of all of us. All because he was on his mother's side and on his father's side. He was man, and he was and is God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are one. I don't know how to understand it, I don't know how to explain it, but I do know how to believe it. They're one in their attributes. They're one in their decision making. They're one in everything that comes along, and yet they're separate. God the Father was the dominant character in the Old Testament. God the Son was the dominant character during his day. And God the Holy Spirit is the dominant character in our day. But on his father's side, he's the one we go to. He's the one that paid the debt. He's the one that came out of the grave. He's the one that went to the cross. They stripped him naked. They spit on him. And he didn't rebuke. He didn't revile. He just took it. Because he loved you so. That's understandable. But what's not understandable, I believe he loved me that way too. Whoa. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.